Welcome to The Money Show, our How It Works feature on a Tuesday night. Are you thinking differently about the world? If not yet, you're going to have plenty of time to reflect in the next couple of weeks, certainly. But do you need all of that stuff in your house? Are you going to need to spend as much as you do in the future as you have in the past on stuff? Have you got to that point where you are exercising some introspection? As for the first time, you've spent hours in your house, or you certainly will be, looking at your cupboards and going, I haven't worn that in years. I haven't used that. I don't need this. We don't use that. These cupboards are cluttered. How about we start dispensing with stuff? How about going out? I mean, the habit of going out, it's so much fun. When there's plenty of cash flow, it's easy. Suddenly, not only is cash flow constrained, but you can't go out because you're going to be in lockdown. Are you going to live more lightly into the future? Are you going to live kinder into the future? Well, no doubt that we're going to go back to many of our bad habits as normality returns one day, but this is a rare chance to reset. And one of those people who's been trying to get people to reset for years is Tammy Fry. Tammy Fry is the founder of Meat Free Mondays in South Africa and Australia, director at the Fry Group. We had her on as a shapeshifter years and years and years ago. And tonight, she's woken up for us early. She's 3 o'clock in the morning, or 3:30 in the morning in Australia, where she is at the moment. Thank you, Tammy Fry, for waking up so early. Is it not too vicious?
Hi, Bruce. No, it's not too bad. I'm part of the 5 a.m. club, so I guess 2 hours early is not such a bad thing. it's a good time to be up. For sure. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's lovely to have you. The 5 a.m. club. Tell me about this movement. I mean, you seem to love movements. The 5 a.m. club is gaining traction.
Oh, absolutely. I've just read the book by Robin Sharma, and definitely I think that human beings in 2020 have a lack of discipline. And I think the virus and what we're experiencing now is shining a light on that and bringing us back to what really matters in life, I suppose. Getting up early just helps to structure the day better. And of course, with the global growth of fries internationally, I have to work at all times of the day and all times of the night. So bringing some structure into my day is helpful.
Because, I mean, you started out making vegetarian food, 15 years ago?
30 years ago. Yes, we did. It's actually a fascinating story. Fries started just in our family kitchen 30 years ago, before plant-based was even a thing. And it was born out of a need for our own family to feed ourselves with plant proteins. Wally Fry had been a goat farmer in Cato Ridge in KwaZulu-Natal. And he met my mum, and she was a vegetarian. And I was born and I was also a vegetarian. And, you know, I guess our passion for not consuming animals really spoke to him. He moved out of the goat trading industry and started a construction company, and did quite well in the construction company, building everything from houses and eventually mini factories. And one day he built a piggery. And I think that for him was the turning point where he went into that piggery. It was a 4,000 sow piggery. And I think that was his epiphany moment, because that was the day he decided that he was going to join us and become a vegetarian. And back in those days, Bruce, there was, you know, nobody even really knew what a vegetarian was, let alone a vegan. So we were often asked, well, obviously you eat chicken then, you know, obviously you eat fish then. So it was a very unknown concept. Wally always jokes, he said he thinks the vegetarian society had about 10 members in South Africa. And he started creating from scratch plant-based meats. And there was no such thing as plant-based meats 30 years ago. So he really started the industry in our home kitchen in KwaZulu-Natal, which is really phenomenal if you consider how far we have come to today, you know, 2020, where fries is now a global player. We remain proudly South African, and we supply almost 20,000 outlets around the world in 29 what? Countries. So it's very much a South African success story.
I mean, it's an astounding story of how you essentially help create an industry, help create a movement against all the odds, because you're not climbing on a trend. You're not climbing on any kind of bandwagon. You're sort of trying to build the bandwagon, and you know, you don't know which parts to use as you do it. Those early days must have been hell.
Oh, of course. I mean, there was no way of producing this food that he had created on a larger, you know, on a scaled up version. So when he got his first supermarket listing, we had kitchen equipment like a Kenwood chef. We had a cappuccino machine, which was making our steam for our sausages. He was measuring off sausages with, you know, with a ruler and tying it off with a piece of string and supplying these, you know, 5-10 sausages to a few friends. So scaling up was always a challenge, because it wasn't like owning a bakery. If you own a bakery, you can walk into any company that produces baking equipment and purchase what you need. Wally had to really figure out how to build these machines to do what he wanted on a larger scale, and still keep that that old system of doing in the kitchen and just scale that up. So what we do now is still very much what we did in the kitchen back then, but on a scaled up version. We're still using, you know, really natural raw materials, things that you could probably buy in your health shop, because we ourselves eat our own food. So it really is important to us. So this was always a purpose-driven company. We definitely didn't jump on a bandwagon. This was all about our own passion, and that's very much alive today.
And that motivation, of course, because you've got a range of 80 products or thereabouts. I mean, you've substantially grown the product set. And for a long time, vegetarian food was, you know, a carrot, maybe a celery stick and a pot of hummus. And that has fundamentally changed. And we've seen this explosion in the trend. Now the bandwagon is firmly running, and we've seen mad valuations on American listings of meat-free companies and all sorts of things. You're still very much a family business.
Of course. The plant-based space is set to reach 9% share of the estimated 2.7 trillion global meat market by 2040. Which is really exciting, because that means there's so much room for growth. There's so much room for brands, new brands, to join us. And, you know, we always say all ships rise with the rising tide. So, yeah, there are plenty of other brands in the marketplace now, but I think they all share our mission with us. And so, of course, it's exciting times. And this movement and joining Live Kindly company is definitely going to give us a step up onto the global platform.
Tell me about Live Kindly, because you are the person responsible for Meat Free Mondays, which in itself has become a movement. Lots of people subscribe to this idea of Meat Free Mondays. I don't know if they if it defeats the purpose if they have extra on Sunday and Tuesday, but certainly there's a change in mindset when it comes to people's habits. And breaking habits is the hardest thing you can do, and you're making inroads.
Yeah, I think flexitarianism is a hot topic. And we're seeing
flexitarianism. So if you're not quite ready to get off the fence, you can flexitarianize yourself.
We're definitely seeing a massive shift to an approach where people are just cutting back. And as you mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, just cutting back on everything, how they buy, how they spend, the types of foods that they eat, cutting back on meat to positively impact the environment, to positively impact their use of water, agricultural land, you know, not harming animals. There's definitely a shift in consciousness, and with that comes a shift in food choices. And of course, that means that people need to eat less animal products. So we just cannot carry on with the human population the way it is, consuming animal products the way we do. So there needs to be a change.
I mean, even, again, and I don't know how big you are on compromise, but if you are used to going to your local supermarket and picking the cheapest cuts off the bottom of the shelf, and you do that 7 days a week and you stuff your face on sort of factory-reared meats on a regular basis, if suddenly you decide, hold on a second, I'm going to flexitarianize myself, I'm going to use this now, I'm going to buy better quality meat, I'm going to buy ethically sourced meat, I'm going to buy a meat that, breathed oxygen and drank water and felt grass between its hooves before it was slaughtered, but I'm only going to do two or three times a week. You fundamentally change the dynamics of an industry.
Of course you do. And those changes are all also very necessary. So anyone who's choosing to buy meat less often, be more educated about where meat comes from, research that, look into the companies you're buying from. All of those changes are important and necessary. But I would say that it is absolutely necessary to start shifting towards a plant-based diet. We're seeing, I'm in Australia at the moment, we've just had the bushfires, and it's definitely put a spotlight on the environmental crisis. So I know we have a human crisis right now, an epidemic like that we've never seen, but we still have an environmental crisis too. And these things are going to require the way we live and the way we eat. And I know a culture, especially South Africans, very strong meat eating culture, that doesn't have to change. It just has to be, I'm just going to eat once a week on the weekend, and I'm going to make sure I buy the most expensive meat that I can buy. That's how we need to change. And if everybody did their little bit, if everyone did meat-free Mondays or weekday vegetarian or weekday vegan or vegan before 6 p.m., if everybody did something, together we would be very, very powerful. We're always stronger together.
I mean, it's so interesting. In times of massive crisis, we may be brief. The opportunity for introspection does exist, and we waste this opportunity at our own risk, don't we?
Yeah, I think that right now people are sitting at home, just thinking about the state of the world, and we've been in autopilot for too long. So this is going to give us an opportunity to sit back and say, how can we as a family make a difference in the world? And Fry's mantra is, through my personal choices and actions, I can help change the world. That means that every single person listening to your show has a responsibility to humanity and to the environment to start making some small changes in their homes. And of course, I'm here saying, try plant-based. You don't have to compromise. Plant-based meats have come such a long way from what they used to be. There's such technologically advanced methods of production. Plant-based meats are not what they used to be 30 years ago. You can barely tell the difference from eating a plant-based meat to eating real meat. But it doesn't come with the environmental destruction.
How would you know what it tastes like? Because you don't eat the meat. Ha-ha. Tammy?
Because I have sampled probably, I don't know, millions and millions of Fry's nuggets to people around the world, and to watch their look of astonishment when they eat a plant-based meat for the first time and say, I absolutely cannot believe that this is not meat. I don't understand how did you make it? How did you make this taste like meat? And that shock on people's faces is always, it's always very exciting, because you realize, if you don't have to have all this negative impact through the food that you're eating, and you can choose something which has a much lower environmental footprint, a much less requirement for water, agricultural land, then why not? Why wouldn't you?
So, it's an astounding evolution, because there was a point when I think, there would be subsets in any subculture of people going, well, why are we going to make it taste like meat and feel like meat? Because that defeats the purpose. We're anti-meat, so why are we going to do this? And ultimately, one has to be a lot more creative than that when it comes to changing people's habits, because people do have habits because they like the textures, they like the flavors, whatever it might be. And if you give them something that tastes like cardboard, you're not going to convert them to your movement.
No, of course, there has to be a very strong focus on flavor and convenience. It can't be difficult to make, and it can't taste disgusting, because then you're definitely not going to change. The reason people are moving to plant-based meats is they've realized you don't actually need to compromise on anything. It takes It's quicker to cook, and it tastes as good. So there is no compromise anymore. It's a very, very simple shift. You just have to head over to the freezer section of the supermarket and pick up hopefully one of the fries products,
of course.
And put that into your freezer and cook that on one night a week or two nights a week. There's very little compromise there for human beings to make.
You've now got a global supply chain. You've now got great complexity that you wouldn't have had 15, 20, 30 years ago when you started out. And suddenly, people are being told to stay at home. Suddenly people are being told, yes, you can pop out to the shops, but only to buy food. How are you coping with the changing world for at least the next month, two, maybe three, as we try and get a handle on COVID-19?
Well, I think we take a long-term view of shifting consumer needs. We see the potential in the future, especially post-COVID-19. These temporary market shifts, I think, are not a reason for concern for us. In fact, we've seen in South Africa, 30% increased sales in the last 2-3 weeks. So people are definitely looking at trying plant-based foods. They may also be pantry stocking. So that obviously plays a role in that growth. But, Fry's itself is still manufacturing. We are one of the, we're in the food industry, so it's required that we continue to produce food. And we will carry on through this. And I think going forward, we're going to see unprecedented growth of plant-based foods around the world.
I love your non-judgmental approach to this. Most of us call it hoarding. You call it pantry stocking, which is very customer friendly, especially for people who have pantry stocked. But I suppose it's there's more to it than simply saying stop eating meat. There is we need to have our epiphany. We need to be thinking differently about the way we treat each other. We need to be thinking differently about the way we treat our planet. I mean, just one expects levels of CO2 around the globe to drop. All sorts of, dare I call them benefits of a massive economic slowdown, which must accompany a human shutdown while the virus is tackled.
Yeah, I mean, a global shift to a plant-based diet would reduce global greenhouse gas emissions by 56%. Sure. That's an enormous impact that we would make if we all moved over. That would just be one thing we could do, not talking about cars, airplanes, the transportation industry, electricity. I'm just talking about shifting to a plant-based diet. So, of course, there's a lot of things that we can do to impact change. People just have to decide to do it, and they have to do it en masse, because I think the time is dire right now. We can't just stay in our bubbles. We have to realize that we are all interconnected. We need the environment to be healthy. We need clean access to clean, fresh water. And we're seeing more and more how water tables and drinking water is being affected by a runoff from livestock production. We're seeing massive dead zones in the ocean from livestock production. We're seeing, sprayed crops and GM crops being produced, 70% of them being produced to feed livestock. So 70% of all of our monoculture crops are not being fed to human beings. Although we see so many people starving in Africa, but we still want to sit down and eat meat. It's an inefficient protein equation. It doesn't work to take plant-based foods, feed them to animals, and then eat them ourselves. If we want to feed the world, we're going to need to look at a more plant-based way of living. So people are realizing that we're interconnected with everything. And I think this isolation is definitely also helping point that out, because we're missing people, we're missing hugging people, we're realizing everything relies on everything else. And so as we shift consciousness, we'll make that realization and people will change. It's happened, it's happening, it's going to keep happening. And it's an exciting time to be alive, to see the future.
Tammy Fry, we wish you luck with it, and welcome to the 3 a.m. club. Please don't start that as a movement. You've been far too successful at starting movements and driving movements. I can cope with 5 a.m. club. I can't cope with 3 a.m. club. Waking up for us this evening, this morning in Australia at 3 a.m. to bring you an update on Fry's, but also, of course, to push very, very strongly the messaging around environmental concerns, cruelty concerns, all of these issues as we sit and think a little bit differently about all of our futures. Tammy Fry, thank you.